He hears us. He really does. And he really does care for the things that are going on in our lives. I want to turn your attention today to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. While you're turning to Genesis chapter 4, let me just tell you, if you get a chance to, it's not finished yet, it's a work in progress, but stop by and take a look in the chapel. It was the men's prayer room and toddler room, and now it's the chapel. There again, work in progress, but it's looking good. The idea is we'll be able to take our Wednesday night Bible study in there, our adult Sunday school class, we can take it in there in the chapel. We can have our small groups that meet here at the sanctuary in there. We can have Bible quiz meets whenever we host a tournament. We can have that in there. And it'll help us as our church grows. One of the unintended consequences of a church growing is we lose a close-knit community family feel. A friend of mine was working in a larger church, he told me, when your church starts to grow, you need to stop operating as a family and start operating as a company. And I understand what he's talking about when he's talking about logistics and all that, but there's something that you cannot lose as a church grows in that family atmosphere and feel. God intended his church to be a family, not a company. And so one of the ways that that's going to help us is with our small groups, which meet today, and allowing us to continue to grow, but also to stay in small groups. But that chapel will help us. It'll bring us closer together. We won't be so spread apart geographically, and we'll be able to grow in our relationship with God and each other together. So if you get a chance to stop in, take a look at it. It's a work in progress, like I mentioned. Brother Dathraj is superintending the project. If you're able to help out in any way, right now we're doing some carpentry. Painting is almost completely done. So I think Brother D? The bulk of it, is that carpentry primarily, or there's some woodworking that... odds and yes, if you're an odds and endser, then just see Brother Dathraj and you can help us out with that, sir. That's right. We will find work, even if it's not in the chapel. We've got other work to be done. So, if you just want to do a work for the kingdom of God, there is a work that can be found for your hands. I want to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, starting at verse number 1. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. He was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And Cain said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I asked three children this week to tell me the story of Cain and Abel, and nary a one of them could tell me the story. So I was thinking coming into this lesson, we were going to drive by kind of fast, but I may have to drive by a little slow. Lay the groundwork for this story. We're going to talk today, preach to you this morning about the story of Cain and Abel, continuing our In the Beginning series and learning and walking through the book of Genesis. Let's pray and let's ask God to speak to us. There's a word from the Lord for us. Let's pray that he would speak it today. Jesus, I love you with all my heart. What a privilege it is to be in your house. I want to be a worshiper like Abel. God, I pray, give us young men and women. Give us men and women who are going to be like Abel, who are going to come with faith and come with a love to worship. I pray, Lord Jesus, help us today. Any of those who are struggling like Cain, I pray, God, bring us to a place of repentance. And all of those who have a heart like Abel, continue to bring us to a place of worship. Speak through me what you've laid on my heart through this message, I pray, and speak to your people and help us to become greater disciples of you, Lord. The lives you want to change in this service today, I pray you would have liberty and free course to change every life in this service today. May your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, turn around, ask somebody, and answer honestly. Ask them, do you know the story of Cain and Abel? Now, because this is not going to indict you, this won't indict you. This will indict your neighbor, but I don't know which neighbor you asked, so they're safe as well. If they said no, raise your hand. If your neighbor, when you ask them if they know the story of Cain and Abel, and they said no, would you raise your hand? You're not indicting yourself, you're indicting your neighbor, but I don't know which neighbor you ask, so they're safe and you're safe. Everybody's safe. All God's children are safe. All right. It was career day, the day these two brothers would finally step up and answer the question their mom and dad asked while they were growing up. What do you want to be when you grow up? The older one watched his dad work from sunup until sundown, until he turned the ground into a garden and brought home armloads of fruits and veggies. And it looked like hard work, but it looked like exciting and rewarding work. So if he did his work right, he would fill his days, filling his belly and his family's with the fruit of his work. So he decided to be a farmer just like dad. The younger one watched his dad take care of the flocks. He listened as he named each new lamb and watched him love each lamb like a son or daughter. And he had a soft spot in his heart for animals. And if he did his work right, he would fill his days filling up the pens with flocks. And he decided to be a shepherd like dad. So Cain went this way to work the ground, and Abel went that way to watch sheep sleep. And the first career day was a smashing success. Two sons, two careers, two happy parents, two happy boys. If it's a Disney movie, a short movie in the making. I'm sure the boys at early on needed a little help from dad, so dad took some time with them to help them out. Took time with Cain to show him how to plant seeds, how deep to plant them, how wide apart to plant them, how to pull the weeds, when to pull the weeds. He took time with Abel, teaching him how to shepherd the flocks, what to feed them, when to walk them, how to heal them. And he taught a very valuable lesson to his two boys that every parent needs to teach every child. Every gift we have comes from God. When you take inventory of your life today and you find any good gifts anywhere in your life, I can tell you the return address without one glance at the card. It came from God. When your boss promotes you or your banker approves you or you open the mailbox and find money or you open the door and find groceries, man may be the delivery driver, but every good gift comes from God. You can read the return address in James chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We are what we are, and we have what we have by the amazing grace of God. We are blessed today because God has blessed us. If you work a job, you're blessed, but God gave you strength to work the job. Everything we have comes from God. And one of the most important lessons we'll ever teach our children is that we are blessed because God has blessed us. Somewhere Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel that God had blessed them, and they were blessed, and so now it was time to bless God. As they grew up, they watched their mom and dad worship. They knew how it was done, and so now it was time for them to build an altar and bless God themselves. The children learned how to worship God by watching the grown-ups. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, Grammy and grandpa, Mimi and Pop, Nana and Papa, Mima and Pawpaw. It is so important. The names go on and on and on. It is so important for you to worship when you come to church because you've got little eyes who are watching you and little ears who are listening to how you respond to the Spirit of God. Your kids and your grandkids are going to learn how to worship by watching you worship. They're going to learn how to raise their hands and when to raise their hands by watching you raise their hands. I watched a little bit ago. I don't want to embarrass them at all, but when we got ready to pray, Brother Gavin opened service, I watched as Lincoln had both hands in the air and he was talking to God. He's been watching some adults somewhere who've been lifting their hands, watching his dad, watching his mom, watching others. Our kids learn how to worship God by watching us worship God. I want my kids, I want our kids, I want our grand, I want all of the kids in this church to learn how to worship. And if they're going to learn, they need to watch us. Mom and dad, don't let a service go by when you're not worshiping God and lifting Him up. It's not just for you and what you get out of it. There are little children who are watching to learn. If God is worthy, then mom and dad are going to worship Him. If God's really as great as we sing He is, then mom and dad are going to lift their hands and they're going to magnify the name of the Lord. They learned how to work. I love watching Brother Fortner when he comes up to the altar after service. He comes up and Elijah and Adelia come right up with him, and they're just kind of huddled and safe right there, and they're watching Grandpa pray and seek after God. We ought to have more of our families coming to the altar together to seek God together. Our children and their future depend on us showing them how to worship. And while I'm at it, be sure, if you're going to bless God here, make sure you bless Him there. Don't just come and bless God in this house and then go home and curse God in your house and curse the kids and curse their wife and curse your husband and curse everybody on the block. But if you're going to bless Him here, then go home and bless Him there and bless them there and bless the kiddos and bless the wife and the husband when you get home. Love God here. Live for God here. But don't just do it in this house. Do it in your house. Live the same life out here, out there, as you do in here. One of the easiest ways you can teach your family how to bless God is to bless Him every time you sit down at the table together. And if you don't sit down at the table together, today is a good start to sit down at the table and have a meal together. But before you eat your lunch, remember to stop and give God thanks. Whether you feast on New York strip and New York style cheesecake, or you have to fill up with tuna fish and crackers, we should be thankful for what we have to eat simply because we have something to eat. So when we stop and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for our food, please bless it in Jesus' name," we're not just asking God to bless our food, we are blessing God for our food. Make sure you show your children the example by thanking God because we have what we have by the grace of God. Cain and Abel knew it was time to bless God for how much He had blessed them. So Cain went to his garden and picked an armload of produce and brought an armload of produce to the altar. Abel went to his flocks and searched until he found the best he could find. The scripture calls them the firstborn, which means they were with him the longest. Abel loved these flocks and they loved him. And he knew this offering would cost him dearly, but God was worthy of his best worship. So Abel killed his firstborn favorites in the flock and brought them to God as a sacrifice. This was not just an offering, this was a sacrifice. And God was so pleased with Abel. He knew how much it cost him to give God his very best, but he knew Abel's heart, and he knew Abel believed God was worthy, no matter the cost. And God accepted Abel and his offering. So we've got one down, we've got one to go. But not so much with Cain. Something was wrong with Cain. Something was wrong with his offering. Scripture does not tell us he brought the first fruits from the garden. It doesn't even imply Cain took any time to find the very best he had to offer God. It seems like Cain just went into the garden, loaded up his arms with whatever he could find, and brought that to God, and God would have to accept it because at least he tried. But God did not have to accept it. And God did not have to accept him, because worshiping God is like not like donating at a thrift store where we just give God whatever we don't want anymore that we have laying around. Worship demands we give God our very best because He's worthy of the very best we have to give. But worship is not like an episode of Chopped either. It's not a contest to see which one God is going to accept and which offering God is going to reject. If both of them came to God with faith and gratitude, God accepted both of their sacrifices and been pleased with both of them. But by the end of the day, it was clear that God was pleased with Abel and his offering, but not with Cain and his. And everybody wants to know why. One of my favorite sections of the newspaper is the front page. Sometimes the Mount Vernon News runs these man on the street interviews, where a reporter goes up and down and pounds the sidewalks trying to find people who have an opinion they want to share. Finding people with an opinion they want to share takes less time than eating one Skittle, because everywhere there are people who have an opinion they want to share, and they ask them questions about how do you feel about potholes or taxes or dogs off leashes. They ask them all kinds of questions, and they publish their opinions and their answers on the front page of pretty much everything. The same is true with Genesis 4. Everybody wants to know, why did God not accept Cain and his offering? And Scripture is fairly silent about why, so since it's silence, people have filled the silence with their opinions, and many of them could be right. Maybe it's because Cain did not give God the best he had, or maybe it's because God required a blood sacrifice and Cain just gave fruit. There's even a story, a theory that God was, or rather, Adam and Eve made this a contest, and the winner of this little worship war would get a prize from mom and dad. But here is where Wednesday night Bible study meets up with Sunday morning worship. The answer we find to the question in Genesis 4:4 can be found in Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It wasn't so much that Cain brought fruit and Abel brought flocks. It was that Abel brought faith and Cain did not. Abel woke up in the morning and said, "It's Sunday, I'm going to church." He woke up in the morning and said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to worship God. My favorite singer doesn't have to sing my favorite song. If I don't know the words, I'm just going to watch the screen. But I've come to worship because I've got faith. And I believe God. And I believe He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I believe that if I bless Him," now He doesn't have to, but He does it anyways, "I just believe He's going to bless me. So I come with faith on Sunday, believing I'm going to bless the Lord. And when I do, the great God of glory is going to bless me." Abel came to church with faith that something was going to happen when he came to the altar. Abel believed God, and believed God will reward those who will seek after Him. I didn't come to church today just because it's what we do on Sundays. I didn't even come to church today just because I'm the pastor and that's what I have to do. I came to church today because I want to worship and I love Him. And I want to bring an offering of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord because He is worthy. I want to bless Him. He's worthy of my best praise. Hallelujah. Did anybody else come to church with faith that the great God of glory is worthy of our best praise? We're here because He's here. I realize this is not about me. I realize this is all about Him. And we are here because He's here. And whenever He's here, He can do anything for anyone here. Does anybody have faith to believe that today? We're in church today because we're going to have an encounter, an experience with God. Where are the Abels of our generation who came to worship God? You came to give freely to God what already belongs to Him. You came because it's a privilege and an honor to come into the house of God and give the Most High your highest praise. And you show Him how much you love Him by the worship you give Him. Many scholars believe Abel brought a fruit sacrifice just like his brother Cain, but Abel did not stop there. Abel realized, "I'll give Him what He's asking for. I'll give Him what's expected, and I want to give Him so much more." So he scoured around his flocks to try to find the best, the best of the best, the blue ribbon, the county fair award-winning sheep. And he finally found one sheep, and maybe even a couple sheep, and he brought them, sacrificed them, and brought them to God because he said, "I want to give God the very best I have to offer. He's worthy of everything I could give." And Abel gave God the very best he had to offer. I'm sure he shed a tear or two knowing how much he loved those sheep, but he was glad to finally give to God something to show Him how much He loved Him. We need more Abels who love God and love to worship God. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Not because somebody's cheerleading you and telling you you need to, but because you came with a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving to a God who's been good to you and you want to bless the name of the Lord. We need more Abels wholly dissatisfied with just checking a box that says, "I came to church." But we need Abels who are going to come to as many services as they can come because you want to show God He means more to you than anything or anyone. And I came to worship and love Him more. We need Abels who live to worship. You're a worshiper when you're at work. Martin Luther told the dairy maids, "You can milk cows to the glory of God." We need Abels who are going to worship at home. You're a worshiper at school. You're a worshiper at church. You're a worshiper when you're standing in the 10 items or less line behind somebody who's got 25 items or more. You're a worshiper even then. We need Abels who are going to realize, "I am what I am here, and I am what I am there, and everywhere I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm a worshiper." Abel came with faith, and Cain did not. And both of those boys knew God's response right away. Abel was thrilled, and Cain was depressed and mad. He burned with anger, sitting there on the ground with his head in his hands, his elbows on his knees, shaking his head, wondering, "Where did I go wrong? What did I do?" God wants an offering. I brought an offering. I did what he told me to do. I don't know what I did wrong. But the issue was not his offering. It was his heart. If his heart would have been right, his offering would have been right. But his heart wasn't right, because as soon as God rejected him, rather than repent, he was filled with rage. Cain's response should have been, God, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did wrong, but if you'll let me know what I did wrong, I'll do what I can to make it right, because I want to make this right. But instead of repentance, his heart was filled with rage as he looked over at his little baby brother, that big goofy grin on his face, as God accepted Abel's sacrifice. Cain was so mad, the Bible says, burned with anger, maybe mad at God, definitely mad at Abel. And while Cain's blood was boiling, God spoke to Cain. What's the matter, Cain? Not a good time, God. You'll be accepted if you do what's right. It's really simple as that. But if you refuse to do what's right, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But Cain, you've got to get that under control. You've got to subdue that. You've got to be its master. Cain, sin is like a lion lying in wait for you to be weak so it can pounce on you and rip you limb from limb. Cain, you've got to destroy sin before it destroys you. God in his mercy reached for Cain before Cain had a chance to do something he would regret. But Cain ignored God and continued to allow his blood to boil. He sat there thinking over and over, day after day after day. We'd think about that one worship service where Abel was blessed and he was not. And he allowed that to fester and allow his blood to boil until finally, after fearing that searing sting of rejection, he had had enough. And one day while he and his baby brother were out alone in the field, Cain ambushed Abel and killed Abel. We're two generations in, ladies and gentlemen. Two in the human race, and we have premeditated murder on our record. And once again, God spoke to Cain. Hey, Cain. Not a good time, God. Where's your baby brother? I don't know. Let's add perjury to the charges. Am I my brother's keeper? Short answer, yes. God let Cain know. He knows what Cain did, and he told him his brother's blood cries out to him from the ground. Now Cain is cursed. It will not be like it was before. He won't be able to go to work and just turn the ground into a garden like he did before. He'll be a fugitive the rest of his life, on the run, not able to really rest. So now it's his chance to right the wrongs. He can't bring his brothers back, but he can get his heart right with God. All he has to do is repent. Tell God he's sorry for what he did and ask God for forgiveness. Cain, repentance is your best option. And I just realized this. Sorry, Cain. I keep referring to Cain. C-A-I-N, not K-A-N-E. I just realized that. We have a Cain. Instead, Cain, not complains and says, really, God? This isn't fair. It's a harsh sentence. This is greater than I can bear. You've driven me out from the face of the ground. In your face, I'll be a fugitive and vagabond, a wanderer the rest of my life. And here's my favorite part about Cain. Cain says, and everybody who finds me will kill me. Cain, let's do the math. How is everybody going to kill you? But Cain thought it was possible. Just want to ask him dramatic much? So God in his mercy set a mark on Cain that would protect him and keep everybody from killing him. And verse 16 reads, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That's a sad verse. And dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife. You're probably wondering how, probably his sister or niece. Not a lot of options when you're second generation. And she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son. He wasn't even proud of his own self enough to call the city by his own name. He said, I messed up. I'll never make it right. So let's start over with you. I don't want people to remember me or what I did. It's a sad verse that God in his mercy was willing to mark Cain to protect him. And then Cain would just turn and walk away from the presence of the Lord. But it doesn't have to end that way. Cain, you don't have to be a fugitive. You don't have to run for the rest of your life. All you've got to do is repent. God was willing to protect you. Surely he would forgive you. But rather than repent, Cain walked away and lived the rest of his days regretful. All because he did not and he would not repent. You probably haven't done anything near what Cain has done. But if you sinned in any way at any time, you need to repent. The only way to be right with God is to come to him in repentance and faith. Come to God with the faith of Abel, that he is able to forgive the sins of Cain. God will forgive you and give you a far brighter future than you ever had in your past. Part of the story that has always interested me comes after the story. By this time, a few generations have passed, and a man named Lamech comes along. And from what we read, Lamech is not a nice guy. And one day, a young guy comes along and attacked Lamech, and we don't know why, but for whatever reason, he attacked him, and Lamech killed him, and he sang a song about it to his wives. And the end of the song says this: if somebody who killed Cain is punished 7 times, then the one who kills me will be punished 77 times. Not exactly a Valentine's Day song you want to sing to your wife. Cain's sin affected generations after him because Lamech, and hear me, Mom and Dad, Lamech saw the mercy of God on Cain as a license for him to sin because God protected Cain. So surely if God would protect him for his sin, God will okay me for mine. You can tell your kids all you want, do as I say, not as I do, but your kids will do as you do, not as you say. Don't allow your sin to become a license for them to sin. They will say, Mom and Dad did. Why can't I? Cain could have modeled repentance to the world, and here's the song they might have and they should have sung. If God forgave Cain, he will forgive me. Cain's life could have been one of mercy. Instead, it was one of regret. Will you stand with me this morning? At the end of every message, we need to take some time to digest it spiritually and allow it to speak to us. No matter who's preaching, allow it to talk to our hearts. In fact, this afternoon, one of the great things about our small group this afternoon is it's going to be a continuation of Cain and Abel, giving us a chance to really discuss what we've learned and talked about today. But at the end of every message, when we come to the front of the church, we come to this area we call the altar. They're not just steps, but this is an altar where we come and pray and talk to God. And if you are a guest this morning, we're inviting you to come with us because we're going to come and we're going to spend some time praying. This is not, you're not joining a church, you're not becoming a member, but you're saying, I want to talk to God. I want to spend some time with Him. But to the parents, let me appeal to you. We're not just coming for us. We're also coming for our kids. We're coming because they realize when they see Mom and Dad go to the altar, Mom and Dad need God. I need God. We're setting an example for our children that we need Him. And so here's very simply, if you're like Abel and you're here today because you just came to worship, when this altar's open, I want you to come to the altar, spend some time and just worship God. Just give Him everything He's worthy of. Bring your very best sacrifice you have to offer. Bring your best worship and praise Him because He's blessed you. It's your chance to bless Him. But if you're like Cain and you just can't seem to get it right with God, can't seem to get it right with others, seems like you fall more than you stand, I want you to come to the altar today and come with repentance. Come with faith. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, none of us are. So when you come to the altar, you're going to come and you're going to say, God, I'm sorry, I made a mess of things, but I hear you can forgive. And so I came today to repent, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Just tell God you're sorry. Tell Him I wish I could have done it better, but I didn't. But by the grace of God and by the power of your Spirit, I will do better than I have. And when you come to the altar, whether you're Cain or Abel, there is mercy and there is blessing because there is room for both Cain and Abel at the altar. Let's lift our hands right now where you're standing. We're getting ready to come to the altar together as a church, as people who just want to know more of God, want to get closer to Him. But let's just praise Him right now while we're standing. Lord, I love You. Oh, I need You, Jesus. I love You and I need You, Lord. I thank You for an altar, a place I can come and bring my sacrifice and even bring my sin and give it to You. I want to come today to bless You, but I also want to come, God, every area where I have made a mistake and I have fallen, I want to come and ask You to put that beneath Your blood and pray for You to forgive me and help me to do better in the future than I have in the past. Bless every Cain, bless every Abel, bless every man and woman, every boy, every girl, every student, every child who's here today, God. Meet us at the altar with blessing and mercy, I pray, in Jesus' name. Praise God. I open up the altar right now, everybody, every Cain, every Abel, everyone who came to worship, everyone who came to repent. Would you please come? Let's just spend some time talking with God. Moms and dads, you need to come to the altar. Need to come so your kids will come. Need to spend some time in the presence of the Lord and ask Him. Ask Him to draw you closer to Him today.